Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Mass rallies have been held across the U.S. and Germany, intended to express support for protests taking place in Iran. Those protests have been ongoing for nearly 6 weeks and were sparked by the death of a young woman who is being held by the nation's morality police. And many people outside of Iran learned about them through social media. The demonstrations have broken through communication barriers often imposed by the ruling party. For more now on the role of social media users and companies in these protests, I'm joined by Robin Farzad, host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Celeste. How are you?
I'm doing well. So it looks like two popular apps being used by influencers and protesters in Iran are WhatsApp and Instagram. But how exactly are they using apps like that to get around the communication barriers thrown up by the ruling party?
You know, it's a prolonged game of whack-a-mole. A lot of Iranians and Middle Easterners in general are adept at using virtual private networks to get around whatever great firewall their country has. They go on, they go off, they relay messages through text. Sometimes they use Twitter. And WhatsApp and Instagram, let's not forget, they're owned by Facebook Meta, have become kind of the preferred medium. You have a lot of, for example, culinary and social influencers already in Iran on Instagram. And so it wasn't that difficult to pivot. There's the encrypted nature of WhatsApp. There's the fact that you can message over Instagram and you can see the multiplier effect. And let's not forget, what's different in the era of smartphones is so many people in the developed and developing worlds are walking around with high-powered camcorders and microphones. I mean, it's really revolutionary.
Although many people had smartphones during the Arab uprising in which they were using social media as well, how is this different from protests like the Arab uprising or others?
Well, you saw in the 2009 protests, which were really bloody in Tehran and other cities, that was one done over Twitter, I think the Green Movement. And what's amazing is if you study the Islamic Revolution, 1979, so much of the Ayatollah's sermons were smuggled over audio cassette, and even some intrepid people who had early VHS and Betamax players. And so you're seeing this constant through line, and you know, the authorities trying to clamp down on official, their state-owned TV and everything else, and radio, and there are these internet wires and smuggling wires that are so hard to suppress that people who want to smuggle will get to smuggle.
So Iranian social media provides us a window into this young, educated class that's growing and growing louder in the country. I wonder, is the U.S. allowing these apps to work in Iran as an attempt to connect with these young Iranians that could possibly bring pressure on the regime there?
This question has really been on my mind, and I don't want to risk narking on the protesters or anything out there. But there's this element of U.S. trade policy where there's maybe salutary neglect. We look the other way if we see millions of Iranians on Instagram and WhatsApp. Because, look, it's not really a revenue calculus for Facebook Meta. I don't think they're making huge bucks on Iranians per se. But if this can help the Iranian street, which can help us against this enemy regime, I think on balance, Washington will look the other way. We already do with certain things such as pistachios and rugs and exchanges of wrestlers and soccer players. So I imagine they're not in any rush to clamp down on this. And you saw them with support for tech companies a few weeks ago, the Biden administration for internet access or Starlink or whatever Elon Musk purportedly had to offer.
So what is at the heart of this interest of young Iranians in the West, in having a relationship with the West?
For starters, the population there is very young, and it has doubled since the revolution. If the population was 37 million, then it's closer to 85 million young, hungry people. Iran is notorious for watching Baywatch over pirated satellite dishes, for smuggling Johnny Walker Red, Cosmo magazines. There's a tradition that goes back. People forget that Iran was a very desirable emerging market and a close ally of the United States up until the Islamic Revolution. And that has been interrupted now for 40 plus years. So there's this idea, if you could somehow push through a grand bargain or something, this is one of the last of the emerging markets. Goldman Sachs included it in its next 11 of great emerging frontier market nations. There was a Harvard Business School satellite campus in Iran as recently as the mid-70s. I mean, people forget because it's all about the hostage crisis and Iran and weapons of mass destruction, but it used to be a very different reality.
So we've got less than a minute here, Robin, but we have seen in the past oppressive regimes able to combat social media use? What do you think the Iranian regime will make of this use of WhatsApp, Instagram, and other apps?
It's just brutally difficult for them to crack down unless you're going to shut down the entire internet. But you can show up in Iran. There are people who specialize in pirating iPhones and going through the gray market. Iranians are a master merchant class, and it turns out, you know, in terms of smuggling and spreading information and technology, they're also masterful as that.
Mm. Robin Farzad, host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. As always, Robin, thank you.
My pleasure, Celeste. Thanks.